Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to part two of The Moon Underwater with Jordan Gray, and we're very much enjoying creating her dream pub here in TMUW, which we're increasingly not calling it. But we were left on award-winning Tenterhooks by the lovely Robin Allender with his Moon Underwater pub quiz.
Thank you. Yes, three questions about the Edinburgh Comedy Award this week. And question one was, who won the inaugural Edinburgh Comedy Award in 1981? Jordan, you got any ideas?
No, that one really got away from me.
Stumped. John?
Yeah. Cambridge Footlights?
It was the Cambridge Footlights with Stephen Fry and Hugh Laurie and Tony Slattery and Emma Thompson and Penny Dwyer and Paul Shearer. Yeah. Whatever happened to them? Question two. What was the name of Steve Coogan's winning show in 1992? Jordan?
Steve Coogan and Other Characters?
That's a very good guess. John?
Was it Steve Coogan in character with John Thompson?
Oh, you've got it. Yes, it is in character with John Thompson. Well done.
Quite a clunky title, that.
Weirdly, they didn't used to have titles.
No, it was just your name.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's quite interesting, that. And question three, which ensemble show won in 2002 and then went on to become a cult TV series in 2004? Jordan?
No, I'm drawing a blank. People Just Do Nothing?
No.
That's much more recent, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's more recent. Yeah, John?
I'm just doubting what I wrote down. I'm going to say I'm going to say The Mighty Boosh.
No, it was Garth Marenghi.
Oh, Garth Marenghi.
She's turning into broccoli. Yeah. I don't know if Mighty Boosh won. They think they did win. League of Gentlemen win.
Yeah, I actually wrote League of Gentlemen, then thought, no, that's too early. Yeah. So it might be Mighty Boosh. And then I'm not sure. I don't think the Boosh did. They might have won Newcomer.
Yeah.
Who knows?
But you don't see many shows like that that are sort of almost geared towards sitcoms and that kind of ensemble things like that, really, do you?
I think that's partly due to the demise of being able to monetize sketch comedy.
Yeah.
Is my guess.
And also it's just so expensive if, like, you've got 10 people coming up, I guess, isn't it?
Well, if you ask someone to list their sort of 10 favorite shows of the past 10 years, there'd be a lot of sketch in there. But it's just, even if you get a TV show made, which is like as good as it gets, even then, you know, you've got to split the money two ways, three ways, four ways. You know, commissioners are like, oh, no one wants sketch comedy anymore. And you're like, well, no, you've just said that. You don't want sketch comedy. Yeah. People will always like it.
Yeah,
totally. Anyway, sorry.
No, it's good.
We return to Jordan's dream pub. Now, Jordan, your show, Is It a Bird? Taking the Fringe by Storm. It's about identity. It's about sort of your position as a trans woman. How does that fit into your life in the pub, and how does that affect your pub? What sort of vibe do you want?
Sure. Well, I transitioned at the age of 24, so I spent my pub years as a lad, like a little lad, little chimney sweep lad. It is a masculine atmosphere for sure, but then I don't know if I mentioned the dancey ladies. So we did have some ladies in there, but they were there for a different reason. So I think we'd just be very inclusive, very nice. Not too much. I mean, I think everybody gets to an age where you put a sort of a decimal point after one of the letters of the ever-increasing alphabet, and you go, okay, everything's wonderful, but I don't quite understand these new ones that have come out, and I'm supposed to try and stay on board with everything, but it sometimes starts to feel very convoluted, and I feel very old. I don't understand some of the newer stuff. So we'd make sure that there was a young person on hand to make sure everybody was welcome.
That's a great idea, to have like a sort of youth interpreter.
Yes.
Yeah. And did you experience sort of unpleasantness, ugliness when you were going to pubs after transitioning?
Oh, yeah, because I've never touched a drop of alcohol as a woman, which is quite nice. It was a deliberate thing, because it affects the body's ability to absorb the estrogen that you're taking in the alcohol. The irony is that apparently alcohol does peak your estrogen or diminish your testosterone in general. So had I stayed a drunk, I'd have lovely long curly hair now, which I do. So I think I have quite lovely long hair. It'd be lovely and longer and even curlier, because it encourages hair growth. That's why you see these sort of drunks with no teeth but lovely hair. Lovely, lovely long hair.
Is that true?
Yeah. Well, it's a fact I read on the internet.
Wow. John and I, we have got good heads of hair for our...
I'm going grey. I'm not sure if alcohol has anything to play in that part. But I think I got my first grey hairs about 6 years ago, and I panicked, and then I realised, it just takes years for it to happen. It's not like I've got a sudden fright or anything. So young people to interpret new changes, I think that's a good... Where would they be in the pub? And would you have like a sort of... some kind of board where you add new terms?
Oh, that's nice. But they're just the beer mats, you know, like a fact on the back of a beer mat. That's good. Today, you know, we would talk about quasi-demi-gendered, tri-romantic people, which I don't think I riffed that. I think that's a real thing. There's so many. I got a lovely book given to me the other day with all the flags in it. So we'd have all the flags everywhere. Rather than English, we'd have a couple of English flags as well. We are English, but yeah, all the delineations of gender and sexuality flags, that'd be nice.
And also, that's the sort of thing you would see in a very traditional pub, like nautical flags with their meanings.
Yeah.
To have sort of gender and, non-binary and...
the progress flag, I think they call it, don't they?
Yeah, to have all those flags represented with a key...
Right,
would be fantastic. Yeah. I love the flag display. But we move on to now to your two spirit choices. What are we going for?
Two spirit is a gender recognition as well. What a lovely coincidence. Yeah, it's a Native American thing, if I'm not mistaken. People that have that experience two different gendered spirits within their body.
Right.
What a wonderful segue that happened, I think, as a happy accident.
Yes, absolutely did. But it's true that a lot of indigenous... sort of communities have always been much more accepting of gender fluidity.
Yeah, gosh.
And sort of not that fussed about people being at different places on the spectrum. The two-spirit idea. Yeah.
My two spirits. So I've mentioned it's very important to have Jaeger bombs present, or Percy bombs present. So a digestif of some sort. Jaeger bomb's really nice, but they also there's one that I think is like a budget Jaeger bomb Jaegermeister called Jungfrau.
Oh, right.
It's like Jungfrau.
It's like the Aldi version or something.
Yeah, yeah. Same looking bottle and everything. So I'd be happy with a Jungfrau. They're all the same.
Does that mean young lady then? Young woman?
Jungfrau.
Young missus. Wow.
I think so, yeah.
I'm just going back to GCSE German, which
well,
I
Well, what does Jägermeister hate. Mean?
Yes, mister.
Yes, minister.
Yes, minister. Yeah, it's based on the political satire.
Well, the drink is based on the sitcom.
Yes, minister.
Oh, dear.
So you've got a bottle of budget Jägermeister, Jungfrau.
Jungfrau, for sure.
And what's next?
I don't know if this is a silly thing to pair with it, because then there's no really clear spirits, but I love a Baileys.
Ooh.
So it's going to be it's like a creamy digestive spirit situation. There's not any clear liquids on the spirit department.
We've had Baileys a few times in The Moon Underwater. I think Greg James chose Baileys, didn't he?
Yeah, and I think Sophie Hagen is a big pint of Baileys apologist.
Oh, yeah.
She was talking about how she sort of had to... they wouldn't let her buy a pint of Baileys.
Right, yeah.
So she had to buy separate Baileys and sort of keep adding them until she had a pint.
What about topping up with milk is a nice... Cold milk and Baileys is a nice way to get around that.
Have you had a Baileys in a coffee?
No. Mm. No, that sounds good.
Wasn't that Greg James's thing?
Yes, I think it may well have been.
Yeah.
But I think Baileys is a good choice. Jungfrau... I mean, the Jungfrau you're going to mix with the pussy energy drink. The Baileys, I'm guessing you're going to have... just on ice or with milk. We can allow some milk to be knocking around.
As we're discussing this in real time, I'm realising this is, it does sound like Alan Partridge's Chaser situation.
Yeah,
lady, yeah. Which is apt, but I hadn't even, so I don't know, what is that? A vodka, a Bailey's and a pint.
Yeah. Sick everywhere. Yeah.
No, it's not vodka, it's a gin and tonic.
That's it.
Bailey's gin and tonic and a pint.
Pint, yeah.
Yeah, because he says, can I get a Gordon's gin?
Yeah.
You top that up with some tonic water, yeah. Some ice and a slice of lemon.
Yeah.
Gin and tonic, ice and lemon. Yeah. Well, we head now from our selection. It's quite a sort of... It's going to appeal to the young ladies, I think.
I'm glad that that's come about.
The Baileys, yeah. The Zinfandel. I'm not sure how the pussy energy drink goes in any sort of demographic, but the it's quite a young person's vibe we got here, and then Old Speckled Hen, something for the dads.
A hen, the female of the breed. I quite like that it's leaned in that direction.
So, Robin, we now turn to the Moon Underwater Pub Library.
Oh, that's interesting.
Thanks, John. This week on the Pub Library, it's a book I can't believe I haven't done, because it's called The Search for the Perfect Pub, Looking for the Moon Underwater.
Really?
Yeah, and it's a book by Paul Moody and Robin Turner, and someone recommended it on Instagram. I can't find who recommended it, but it's really, I mean, it's fairly self-explanatory what the book is about. It's about going around the UK and trying to find a pub that fulfills the criteria of Orwell's essay.
Incredible.
Yeah, and... The bit I'm going to read out is about the Crown Posada in Newcastle, which is one of our favourite ever pubs.
Oh, one of the great pubs.
The Crown Posada. Could the Crown match up to the Moon Underwater? When we get there, it doesn't matter. In fact, nothing really seems to matter. Known locally as the Coffin, it's a tiny building wedged like a safety deposit box into a narrow site on the side, a street which plunges deeply down towards the Tyne. Entrance is via a wrought iron gate set on a grey granite plinth, and the interior is frankly enough to bring architects to orgasm, so we'll mention the fluted pilasters. Pilasters? Pilasters, swaged panels, entablature with a pulvinated frieze, and leave the vintage design porn there. Before we know it, we're deep in conversation with all and sundry, a father and son from Dusseldorf, two girls in polka dot dresses studying art at the university, an old fella called Mike, and others I've already forgotten, and I'm sure they have too. I get chatting to a local poet called Keith Armstrong, who explains that he started coming to the Crown when he started drinking seriously in 1970. I can't say it's changed much, apart from the occasional gentle refurbishment, which I suppose is its strength, but I've never dared ask to put any music on, even when it's non-stop Frank Sinatra. I'm a bit like Oscar Wilde in his Paris hotel when it comes to this place. One of us has to go, it's either me or the wallpaper, and I think it's going to be me. There are other pubs I vowed to go to tonight, the Cumberland Arms, the Free Trade, the Bridge Hotel, the Bacchus, the Bodega, to name but a few, but like all good pubs, the Crown Posada whisks you away with it, and there's not a lot you can do but hold on tight and enjoy the ride.
Oh, amen to that.
And I think it's really good. I mean, he does kind of sum up the character of the Crown Posada, and like a lot of very good pubs, it's somewhere where it's very easy to meet people just because of the kind of layout of it, you know. Mm. It's kind of small and compact. It's such a beautiful pub.
When I went there with Ellis, we got talking to loads of people, and one couple was so sweet, and it sort of dawned on me and Ellis that they thought we were a couple. And I was like, oh, I wonder why they thought that. And then I realised I was holding a yellow leather Freddie Mercury jacket that I'd used for the show that evening. So they think we thought I was a performer and Ellis was my husband or something, which is very sweet. Yeah. Now, we don't just have a library here at the Moon Underwater. We also have a jukebox. Now, Jordan, you've been in, was it a grindcore band?
I was in a grindcore band and then an acoustic band and then 10 years of pop music.
And you featured on The Voice, got to the semis.
Yeah.
So what album out of all those multifluous, which is a new word, influences are you going to add to the Moon Underwater jukebox?
Perhaps the greatest album of all time, certainly as voted by the Rolling Stone, and certainly the best posthumous award-winning album of all time, Jeff Buckley's Grace has to be on the jukebox. Gosh darn it, that is a beautiful piece of work. He loved it. He loved the album so much. He was so excited by the he had visiting strings for the first time in his life, and they were able to afford an orchestra to bring in, and he talked about it like it was a royal visit, and you can just hear how much he fucking loves it. That's a gorgeous album.
I mean, that was a big album when I was 16, 17. And it's almost like, regardless of what generation you're born in, you discover that album at 16, 17.
That's so true and so strange, yeah.
And people are still discovering that album now at that age.
Yeah.
And I also remember, like, if you introduce someone to that album when you're that age and they hear it for the first time, either they become your friend or they fall in love with you.
Yeah.
Right.
Because they're like, well, they must be the most sensitive, romantic, poetic person.
Yeah.
Because it is like, discovering it is like, it's not like discovering other albums.
No.
I find I listen to it less and less.
Well, I think it's gone through, obviously Hallelujah has kind of been quite overplayed since and stuff, but...
Well, it's been overcovered, hasn't
it? Yeah. But I come back, like, particularly the song Dream Brother. Is that the last song, Dream Brother? It's so beautiful. Mm. It's amazing. And, you know, it's one of something you come back and hear different things in it, I think.
Yeah. He did a hell of a cover, did Buckley, some obviously his best ones. Lover, You Should Have Come Over, Lilac Wine, beautiful. But yeah, you're right, people discover it at that age. And when it came out, it was competing, it was doing the opposite of what all the popular music was doing. It was competing with Nirvana and grunge, and he was far more mellifluous and musical, and it's just, gosh, it's beautiful. And it can sort of hit the ears in a wrong way. He's got a beautiful but high he's like a tuning a guitar string voice, so he dips in and out of tune a lot, and it's quite shrieky, and it's not the most pleasant thing if you're not into that sort of thing, and it's just playing while you're in conversation. But I like the Darwinism of that in my pub, that it would wheedle out people that don't appreciate good music, because they would be, you know, like those alarms that get rid of teenagers. Certain people will just leave at the peak of, you know, So Real or whatever.
I sort of love to have known what he'd have gone on to do. Because I wonder where that album would have then stood within his canon.
I love some of the later, like, do you know that song Everybody Here Wants You?
The R&B vibe that's got to it. The second album, good. Sketches. So it was Songs for My Sweetheart, The Drunk was the original working title, and then they re-released it and repackaged it after he's died. Sketches for My Sweetheart, The Drunk.
Yeah.
And some great stuff on there. Yeah. A Pixies cover, I think. Really.
Is that the one
Pixies
with the Van Morrison covers on?
I think that's the live one, isn't it? Live at the Cine.
Well, superb addition to the Moon Underwater Pub Jukebox. We are going to have to make sure that the people getting into it at 16 and 17 aren't getting served. I once saw it, the first time I ever went to the Edinburgh Fringe, in fact, it might even been the first show I ever saw in the Edinburgh Fringe, would have been 1998, was Hamlet set to the music of Jeff Buckley by a student theatre group, which is just perfectly Edinburgh Fringe.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You now have a wild card choice, Jordan.
Right, wild card in what sense?
Could be anything. Could be a drink, could be...
Anything I fancy including.
Yes.
Well, I like When I was living there, I always liked the idea of a helter skelter from one floor to the next, which know is super dangerous for a certain type of clientele. But I like to think we're drawing people that have a little bit more self-awareness.
Yeah.
Not that, I know that doesn't really necessarily affect muscle memory and what's the word I'm looking for? Being able to move your body. I know that that doesn't necessarily translate to intelligence, but yeah, I think that's fun. A fun little novelty, something people would talk about.
Mm. Are you concerned... Should there be a limit to how drunk you can be to use the helter skelter? Because I'm just thinking of vomit.
I would love to see what that little cardboard thing looks like. You know, you must be this tall to ride. I don't know how you'd artistically represent your alcohol level. No, you're right. You're right. And it's a twisting thing as well. So it takes longer to reach the bottom. Mm. So you wouldn't find out about that faux pas for a while.
And if you spilt a pint on it, what's the hell? What's the helter skelter providing you? You could just go down a helter skelter.
Whimsy, yeah.
Right, okay. Yeah, so it's just a whimsical helter skelter.
Yes. Yeah,
like a sort of a fun dumb waiter.
Yeah, fun dumb waiter. what about a ball pool? Where do you stand on ball pools?
Hard to stand on them.
Yeah.
Probably no.
We'll pick the stickiness of a carpet and then, you know, times the surface area now by exponential amount. I mean, yeah. I'm not a physicist, but there's more surface to get
That's
sticky.
That's true, yeah. Was there a phase where they became cool, like adult ball pools? It was like a thing people got into, or did I just make that up?
I don't know that they did. Maybe they did. Yeah. I mean, COVID's obviously shut that down.
Yeah.
I mean, all of the surface area for your viral loads in a ball pool's got to be worse than anything.
Yeah, well, this is it, yeah.
Yeah, so death to the ball pool, I'm afraid.
Okay.
But it was about time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, folks, we head away for a special bonus Patreon choice from Jordan. It will be her dream pub companion. And if you want to find out, you're going to have to upgrade from a Johnny Come Fly Be Nightly to a Legend Underwater. So head to moonunderpod.com and you can donate £6 a month to get access to the bonus podcast behind the cellar door. You also get access to live tickets. You get unedited podcasts. You get extended podcasts. You get ad-free podcasts. And you get the... what's French for bonus choice, Robin?
I don't know.
Yeah, le choisi bonnet.
You're barred.
We've traversed the millennia in our discussion with Jordan about her dream pub companion. But we return now to the real pub. Real pub of the mind that we're creating. What would you like to ban from this pub or bar?
Right.
Or make illegal? It could be a behavior or a thing or a smell or a crisp.
That'd be difficult to enforce the smell, I imagine, but we could give it a go. You'd think I want to get rid of a certain type of clientele if we've got a very inclusive bar, but I do like the Darwinism of just everybody can come in and it's self-policing over time. So we're not going to bar anyone specific, but anything coconut can get in the bin.
Really?
Right. Yeah. It's the first thing I ever had was coconut Mickey Finns and it killed me.
Mm.
I'm not here. I died then. This is a ghost. I did die. It was horrible. And all the cliches. I proposed. I was 15. I proposed to the barmaid. I did all throwing up in my friend's hands. It was stupid. And I had a burger from the burger van and I walked dead into the fence of our beer garden. And it's at my waist height, so I just perfectly flipped upside down. And the burger went everywhere. And I just reassembled it full of grass and ate it. And then got even more sick, although I imagine the Mickey Finns had something to do with that.
Wow. So what's Mickey Finns?
It's like a fruit. Oh, so would you think of Mad Dog 2020?
Kind of
that, but with a different range of fruits. So there's a coconut and a raspberry and a, I don't know. I'm making.
So it's like a sort of liqueur, I guess?
Sort of, but
like
you can
a fake
drink
liqueur.
Like
alcohol mixed with flavouring.
Yep.
So... But we're banning all forms of coconut.
Yeah. We don't want coconut shires on the family day. Just it makes me sick. I can see why Bounties are the last ones left in the pot.
So no Malibu?
No Malibu.
I hate Malibu.
Yeah. I wouldn't miss Malibu.
Yeah.
I mean, if Malibu ceased to exist now, I don't think I'd even notice for the rest of my life.
I can smell it now as you're talking about it and it's...
Really? Ugh. What about... So no coconut shampoos?
No, I'm not sure who's bringing those to a pub anyway, but it definitely is. This, yeah, no.
But you're banning anything with any, with elements of coconut in it.
I see what you're doing. You're so extrapolating to the point. It's like when you ask a genie for a wish and they give you an ironic twist yeah. and suddenly wake up and then something really important about life is gone.
Yeah.
All right, okay, let's think about this. Is there anything coconuts are necessary for in the modern world? Because as far as they are just a novelty at a fair, as far as I know, and an awful alcoholic drink.
I hate the... wasn't it like a fad thing of coconut water?
Coconut water is absolutely disgusting.
It's horrible.
Yeah,
like that aloe vera water.
Right.
You're like, this is just...
It's like a salinity to coconut water, which shouldn't be there.
It tastes a bit like watered down bile. Like sort of, it's got a sick, it's got a sicky element to it.
It's one of those kind of health foody things, which is like, it almost markets itself on how disgusting it is.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, this is really good because it tastes like fucking shit.
Hurry up, please. It's time.
Okay, so it's definitely no coconuts in your pub. But we need a name for this because we're going to give you this pub to take with you wherever you need it the most. In your hour of publy need, what are we going to call it?
You know, it's only come about as of the course of this conversation. I had an idea, but what I really like, I was struck by a turn of phrase that you've mentioned. I really like the picture, the thing. The painted sign.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be a little prophylactic with little bat wings of a nighttime, and it's the Johnny Fly By Nightly.
Oh, the Johnny Fly By Nightly.
Yeah. Johnny Fly By Nightly.
So it's named after the people that don't pay for the Moon Underwater.
Right, because right, it's a cheap pub.
Oh, great. Nice. Yes. The Johnny Come Fly By Nightly.
That's brilliant. And the sign is a lovely condom.
Yeah, a little a bat winged wings comet and some stars. Condom. I think that's easily recognised.
That's great.
Well, there we have it. Our regular listeners immortalised in Jordan Gray's dream pub. Well, Jordan, we thank you so much for your time in creating this pub that contains Cronenberg, Old Speckled Hen, Blossom Hill, White Zinfandel, Pussy Energy Drink, pardon my French, Jungfrau, which is a cheap version of Yes Minister, Bailey's, a helter skelter to go from one floor to another, but for the sake of whimsy. It's not actually, because you don't need to get there. It's just a fun way to get there.
No, there's a staircase as well.
And there will be no coconuts of any description whatsoever. Jeff Buckley's Grace is playing on the jukebox. And what song from Jeff Buckley's immortal album would you like to play you out?
Oh, gosh, that's very sweet. I think the title track, Grace, is perhaps the greatest song ever written.
Well, on that note, and to that tune, we bid you adieu, Jordan. Thank you so much for joining us. And also, good luck for the tour, and good luck for the rest of the Fringe run. What have you got coming up on the horizon? Where can people find you?
Well, you can find me across social media, at Tall Dark Friend, as I mentioned. The tour, as of this festival, there's a lot of people bidding to take me away, which is wonderful. So no news just yet, but I'll be
you've
wherever
got them
you
where
are.
You want them.
Yeah,
and you've got to squeeze every ounce of juice out of that lemon.
That's it, Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's been a pleasure to have you. And thank you so much for bringing your show to the festival, because it's, so far, John Robbins' Pick of the Fringe.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.